Hi, I'm Fred Schonenberg, and thank you for joining me on the Venture Fuel podcast. At Venture Fuel, we help companies find new solutions by partnering with the best startups from around the world. On the show, you'll learn the secrets of business leaders who tap into startups and the founders driving extraordinary results. We'll consider new ideas, stretch our mindsets beyond the status quo, and in the process, discover how to leap the competition and fuel personal growth. My team at Venture Fuel has tested almost every virtual event platform and remote collaboration tool in the world. When the pandemic hit, we had to get in front of this for all the different clients that we have. We've held meetings in VR. We've all been avatars. We have speed dated, whiteboarded, voted, clapped, and had a guest turn herself into a potato accidentally. But when we saw Philo, we knew it was something special. Their mission is to create flow through connection, which I think is a pretty powerful mission statement. What they do is reduce the friction in remote collaboration, enabling distributed teams to work better together. Today, I'm excited to have their CMO, Jeff Roars, on the show to give us some insight on what's special about Philo and how you can help your teams work better together. So let's get after it. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be here.
So can you tell us the Philo story, the founder story, where the idea started from and how it came into the world?
Absolutely. Philo actually came about out of necessity, like many things during the pandemic. High Alpha, which is a venture studio out of Indianapolis formed by the former CEO and co-founder of Exact Target and a number of other Exact Target alums, has what is known as their sprint week every few months of the year. And last year, they were coming up on planning for their May sprint week when the pandemic hit. And one of their entrepreneurs in residence was Matt Compton, another former colleague of mine at Exact Target, who had recently joined High Alpha, you know, to percolate on grand plans of building a product or a company. And they just hadn't settled on kind of the direction yet. And when High Alpha started looking at the pandemic requirements and everything else, they thought they were going to have to cancel their sprint week. And for those who aren't familiar with a sprint week, right, it's a pretty intensive week-long journey. And in High Alpha's case, they bring 80 to 100 people together, either in Indianapolis or San Francisco, divide them up into four teams to ideate around four ideas for different businesses. And in High Alpha's case, they're focused on B2B SaaS. And when they thought about this, because they'd only done it in person, they thought, boy, there's just no way to pull this off virtually. Well, Matt raised his hand and said, you know what? Give us a month. Let's see what we can do here. And I think in a little less than 4 weeks, they had come up with what was the first instance of Philo. And they were able to move forward with that sprint week in a hybrid fashion, with some folks participating in Indianapolis and the vast majority of folks participating virtually through the Philo platform. And what happened was they were actually able to create a collaborative environment that brought together the best of Zoom, recorded content, tools such as Miro, Slido, you know, Airtable, Google Docs, et cetera, to enable teams to collaborate in real time, move very fluidly between different instances of Zoom without having to worry about links or logins or where their tools were, because they were in the rooms that they were moving to brainstorm and work with their teams. And it also allowed the outside advisors and investors to participate much in the same way they would in the physical environment. And the net was, for the first time in High Alpha's history, not only did they run a hybrid sprint week, they also had it give birth to four companies that ended up being launched. That was the first time they had done that many out of one sprint week. And those companies are now in existence. They include Mandolin, which is the fastest growing virtual concert platform, Shaker, which is a CRM for real estate, Demandwell, which actually just launched last week, which is software-driven SEO, and then Philo itself. And one of the participants at that sprint week happened to be with Techstars and their sports accelerator that they would run every summer in Indianapolis. And they, you know, tapped Matt on the virtual shoulder and said, hey, can you help us? We got our event in less than a month. And it was off to the races for Philo as they did that accelerator very successfully for Techstars, and then worked with Techstars on, I believe, 8 to 10 subsequent accelerators around the globe, including Amsterdam and Norway, several in the US and Montreal.
I I love it. And I mean, I think one thing that's really interesting is we tested so many different things. They're always, everyone has like a unique value proposition, right? There's some reason they started it. What I thought was really interesting about Philo was it was around this idea of collaboration and less worried about proprietary walled gardens, right? There is the integration with Miro and the ability for you to switch in between Zoom and video and pitch decks. And it seems like it was built to be helpful rather than, you know, something where you have to own the user in every single way.
Absolutely. In fact, we're an integrated partner and reseller partner of Zoom. So, you know, for those who have Zoom, we're a layer that sits on top of that to, in many ways, help you Zoom better in those instances where you do need to collaborate. So instead of focusing on, you know, building the video conference platform, we're focused on building the platform that brings people and content and tools together for that collaboration and the kind of outcomes that you want. And that's led us to have an extraordinarily flexible platform that's being used, you know, for internal and external events, for internal and external meetings, for accelerators, for demo days, for universities, teaching courses, for professors and business folks who want a virtual office with a sense of presence and permanence they can direct clients and colleagues and students to. And it really has been the singular focus of Matt and then Doug, his co-founder, on the product side to how do we, you know, truly create a collaborative environment that does more than just create kind of this linear conversation that we've all benefited from as we've gone virtual, but it does tend to wear on you if you're only looking into your own eyes and the eyes of whomever you're on a Zoom or another video conference with. You need more in so many instances, and we like to bring that to bear for our customers.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Some of the early companies we piloted with, the bells and whistles were so interesting, but they had built their own video platform and it didn't work. There was too much latency, right? Or things would cut out. And the truth is they had cool bells and whistles, but like, if you can't actually have the video work, like we would just basically default back to Zoom because we're like, we can't risk this with clients. We need the least core to work. And I think what's brilliant is you guys are taking that, partnering with Zoom and then adding in all these other things, because you know there's something we've all heard about it at this point now called Zoom fatigue. Right? Where we just sit on video calls all day long. What do you think it is about Philo that remedies, I'll call it that fatigue? And it's not contained to just Zoom, right? It happens on Teams, it happens on Google Meet or whatever other platforms you're using. But that's sort of like, hey, we've been on 10 hours of video calls. How does Philo remedy that?
Well, you've hit upon it, right? Zoom fatigue is much more than about technology or a singular technology. I actually think Zoom fatigue is about the debilitating sameness of a lot of video conferencing we do during the day, especially during the pandemic. And if you have to get on, and I don't care if it is Zoom, if it is FaceTime, if it is WebEx, if it is Teams, whatever the video is, if you are staring into your own face and the face of the folks you're speaking to, you know, with that slightly off eye contact thing that we all wrestle with because of the position of our webcams, that's tiring. However, what we try to do is create an environment where Zoom and video conferencing is one tool to be used towards the goals you're trying to accomplish. So, you know, we use it internally as our virtual office space. So, you know, we don't have, you know, Zoom meeting links in our invitations. It's, hey, just meet in this office or in this room. So when I want to have a one-on-one and I've scheduled it with, you know, one of my reports, I know they're coming to my office. And by the way, in my office, I've curated a number of tools and links that are relevant to our conversation. So I could have a very specific room just for the one-on-one with, you know, a particular report. And in there, we might have a document in which we're, you know, tracking what our goals and objectives are. It may have some Miro whiteboards that we're going to collaborate on, or you know, campaigns that we are, you know, working on in an asynchronous method to get things done. And so Zoom in that is an adjunct to everything we're done. It's certainly facilitating the live conversation, and that could be video, audio, or, you know, the combination. But the key is that it's not the same every single time. And it's that variety that I think helps fight Zoom fatigue.
It's really interesting because we've run a few accelerators completely virtually at this point. And we had an unbelievable group that was a full production team that did it. And it was very, very involved. And one of the things that's interesting about Philo that really attracted us as we looked to who to partner with moving forward was, what about the pitch decks of all these startups? And, you know, they want to meet with the people in the audience that are coming to watch them pitch afterwards, whether that's investors or corporates. And how could they break off and do that within our environment? And I think what's interesting is you have tiles essentially and, mm-hmm. and these rooms where people can break off and experience almost like in a real event, right? You could have a startup have a booth, right? It's that concept yep. of there's a bigger group thing happening, but there's the ability to segment off. Can you speak to that a little bit, as well as maybe any other sort of unique things about Philo that jumped out to you as you were looking at it?
Sure. So our mantra is fast, flexible, frictionless. Every day, the product team is working towards making Philo better at each of those things, right? Fast is that we can spin up an instance, an event, a meeting very, very quickly. The flexible is the application in so many different types of ways around team brainstorm, meetings, events, internal and external. And the frictionless is how can we eliminate that hunt for logins, links, and tools and bring everything to bear in one space. So, you know, one of the classic complaints that I hear about online video conferencing is, man, I had this chat and now it disappeared because I logged off, right? Well, with Philo, that chat is persistent. It's there. You do it within Philo so that you can save it. And the whole space, the whole room is online for you and can remain so after the live portion of whatever conversation you're having so that people can come back in, reference what is there, download documents, you know, collaborate, what have you. So the way to kind of think around a Philo that I've been kind of playing with is think of it almost as your kind of your virtual corporate campus in its biggest sense, right? You've got this campus, this instance of Philo that you can use. And then we have got what we would call floors. We can create floors for your events. We could create floors for your marketing team. I was just talking with somebody who is in the who's a large franchise organization, thinking about, gosh, how do we better loop in our franchisors or our franchisees rather when they can't travel and you know they need to be a part of like the marketing war room to see what's coming to provide us feedback. So they could have an entire floor devoted to the marketing war room. And then they could have an executive-only floor where the rights are limited to the executives and only visible to the executives. And then within each one of those floors, now you have rooms that are completely customizable. And you can add, as you said, the tiles of Miro or Google Docs or Slido or the Airtable documents that you might have. So that customizability is fairly unlimited. And it's also really limited by the creativity of the organization, which is one of the reasons I'm so excited about our future, because when we start working with a customer and they get in, so for instance, Anaplan wanted to use us for their corporate kickoff and their unique challenges. They had around 2,000 folks who were around the globe. So they needed to run this 24 hours a day for 3 days in order to have people participating. And they picked certain times of the day where they could do the live stream of the main stage that would hit every time zone. But then around the clock, they had different rooms for each region. They actually ran an Anaplan Idol competition, which was a talent competition, and folks could dip in there and see the talent of, you know, their fellow Anaplan coworkers around the globe. But they had a great kickoff, and then they had the aha moment. They're like, wow, we could do this for all hands, and we should do this for all hands. And that's been exciting for me because the flexible piece of this is truly flexible. And as companies begin to recognize that, you know, quote unquote, back to normal actually is a new normal of hybrid workplaces because of the shift to work from home, to remote, sometimes in the office, sometimes not, once we're, you know, in a more vaccinated state, you are going to have a virtual campus that people can connect to and know that it's always on. And we're aiming to be that for our customers.
Yeah, I love it. That was actually going to be my next question is, you know, there's sort of everyone swarmed, and that's a sneak peek of something we're going to talk about in a second, but everyone swarmed to virtual work, remote work, events when the pandemic began. And now as the vaccine is starting to kind of spread out in different regions, the question is what happens from there? Are we going hybrid? Are we all traveling for work again? How do you think of Philo in what we'll call the new normal, right? That nobody knows the answer to. But how do you see this all sort of playing out and what the opportunity is for you all?
Well, I'd like to think I have a little insight into this because I myself have been a remote worker for the vast majority of my career. So when I was at Exact Target, Salesforce, year one of Yext, I lived in Lakewood, Ohio, and was traveling to various places around the globe, not just offices. And that gave me a keen insight into the fact that folks in the offices, especially HQ, did not have a sensitivity to the needs of remote workers. And the most egregious example of that was being left out of certain meetings because they just forget, you know, that you're not there, out of sight, out of mind. And the second thing was the inevitable crinkling of the potato chip bag during lunch hour right by that stupid conferencing microphone in the center of the table. So you have these insensitivities to remote workers. Well, now everybody had to go remote and everybody is attuned and sensitive to that now. And they understand the stress of having, you know, your dog over there rustling or barking at the UPS person and your kid coming in and dancing on camera when you're on an important call, a video call. And so I look at this as it's going to vary greatly from organization to organization, but we are in a permanent hybrid kind of world. And that means, yes, you're still going to have, for the most part, most companies, physical offices. However, you now need to be thinking about what is going to be my virtual always on campus that people can go to, can have their own virtual office space. They can curate that. They can have the tools they want. They can fire up conversations. You know, going back to your Zoom fatigue question, another thing that is odd is what if one of the solutions to Zoom fatigue was actually using Zoom more, but just in shorter bursts? Because instead of, you know, putting it on somebody's calendar, we're able to drop into their virtual office and ask them a quick question. And so we're working on ways to facilitate those kind of quick interactions in ways that, you know, they don't get buried under, you know, kind of the Slack feed or email or what have you. So there's some really interesting challenges, I think, for us to solve there. But for companies themselves, I think this idea of thinking about what is our virtual space? And there are some companies that are trying to gamify it with, you know, kind of, you know, 2D pixelated video game style kind of things. I think we're coming at it more straightforward and really focused on the productivity aspects of it and the collaboration aspects of it. And it gets me excited because, again, we see our customers figuring out new applications and uses every single day.
I think it's really interesting. Right before we started recording, I was on a call with a friend of mine at Pepsi, and she was talking about a new role that she had. And we have another mutual friend there. And she said, the hardest part is that they can't just go grab lunch together in the, you know, sort of the cafeteria and catch up. And she's like, you know, we just want like a quick check-in when it's mutually convenient for us. And I didn't think about Philo as a solution for them, but like this opportunity to sort of drop into somebody's office or a virtual meeting space to hang for a second is a very refreshing way to kind of tackle the company culture and the catching up with colleagues, which I think all of us, it is one part all of us miss from the in-person.
Absolutely. And you know, nobody's as excited as we are, you know, to get everybody vaccinated, to get back in person, you know, to have those drinks in person. What we're suggesting, though, is that this is additive to that experience because now the horse has left the barn. People understand they don't need to travel as much. So there's going to be much more purposeful business travel. There's going to be more purposeful face-to-face interaction. But meanwhile, you have to have some sort of always-on virtual interaction opportunity. And if you know, I were to put it into Pepsi's world, right? They're working with agencies. They're working with, you know, contractors and creators. And, you know, a marketing war room is a perfect thing, a permanent space for those teams to collaborate and dip into and see, hey, who's online right now that, you know, I could chat with, or I made this change. Now I just want to tap this person and pull them into a quick little Zoom just to get a tiny bit of feedback. Those interactions, those serendipitous interactions happen readily when you're in a physical office space with all the people you work with. But increasingly, even before the pandemic, that wasn't the case anymore. And so what we're solving for isn't just brought about by the pandemic, it's brought about by the modernization of workforces that are distributed. And, you know, that's what excites me and makes me think that this is something that, regardless of how the vaccines take hold, that we've got something that's going to be of value to organizations of all sizes who value that spirit of collaboration and want to have, you know, productive outcomes and create opportunities for serendipity online and off.
Love it. So before we started recording, you and I were just chatting about, you know, where we live and what's going on. And you mentioned to me that you've taken up as a hobby beekeeping, essentially, because I saw some great jars of honey behind you on your LinkedIn page.
Yes.
Can you tell the audience what businesses, running a business, entrepreneurship, whatever angle you want to take, we can learn from bees?
There is so much. You know, I became a beekeeper because I have a daughter in high school who, when we moved back to Lakewood, Ohio, said, "Hey, I want to start beekeeping." And as if a sign from whatever deity you believe in, I won a beehive from a home and garden show like that same month. And so, you know, we started beekeeping and, you know, lesson number one for anyone in business coming from beekeeping is to never stop learning. You know, we were able to educate ourselves through blogs and books and especially YouTube. There are some fabulous beekeepers. We watch one gentleman who broadcasts on YouTube under the name Vino Farms, V-I-N-O-F-A-R-M, I think S, and just really well-produced videos. And it helps take some of the fear out of it. So, you know, you're self-taught. And when you're dealing with bees, you're dealing with, you know, a living ecosystem, right? A single queen and, you know, workers and drones, and you're trying to get them to reproduce and ultimately produce honey that you can harvest. Well, we were pretty fortunate in year one. We got 55 pounds of honey out of our hive. We got our hive to survive the winter. And then the pandemic hits. And I am prone to do walking, talking one-on-ones. So I have my headset in, I'm walking and doing a one-on-one with one of my reports at that time. And this would have been May of last year. And I'm walking by my hives. And I say, "Ashley, I got to stop you. I think my hive is swarming." And there was a 20-foot cloud of bees outside of my hive. And another thing you have to learn is you make mistakes. And my mistake was I did not inspect the hive deep enough to see that there were swarm cells. Swarm cells are where they produce additional queens because the hive feels it's got a split. It doesn't have enough room in the hive. Even though it had enough room, it felt it didn't. And half the hive was going with the existing queen. And I've got a neighbor running over to me and telling me, "Jeff, there are thousands of bees around the pole on my second floor. Can you please do something about this?" And I've never caught a swarm before, but you just, you know, put on the suit, you put on the gloves, you get the smoker, you get the brush, you get the mini vac, you get the box, and you fire up a quick YouTube video on what you should and shouldn't do. And there I am with my daughter standing in a swarm of 20,000 bees on an afternoon in May, taking a break from work to relax doing this. But what you learn is, you know, when everything is going crazy around you, to be a good leader is to do the opposite and become extraordinarily calm. Because the bees are looking for a new home. They aren't looking to attack. And so while it seems chaotic, there's actually a certain sort of zen to that moment. And you're simply trying to help them get back into a new home that you can provide. And I was fortunate to capture about, I'd say, half to two-thirds of that hive. Unfortunately, we didn't capture the queen. And so it became a lesson then in, you know, how do we re-queen this colony and get it healthy? And so just time and time again, there's lesson and lesson to be learned. I actually wrote something called The Swarming Bees, Work From Home and You, which I published to LinkedIn. So folks can search for that and find the article, which details that very crazy day. But, you know, beekeeping teaches me something every single time I'm out at the hive. And it just reminds me that we all have something to learn every day in business.
Jeff, I feel like if the bees had had a phylo room for the queen, they could have, you know, worked all this out before they had to move around so much.
Oh, we would have virtual bees completely taken care of because we could spin up, you know, virtual hive after virtual hive after virtual hive. There would be endless amount of room, you know, in the AR, VR version of that. But alas, they need the physical space. So it is quite a learning experience. And, you know, the benefits are great on the honey side and being able to give that away to friends. And we actually sold some of it and used the proceeds to donate to the Cleveland Food Center here. And I couldn't encourage folks who are interested in doing it, you know, to watch some of the videos and get over any fear that you might have. For the most part, honeybees are very docile and only, you know, sting when threatened. And I think a lot of people confuse them with hornets and the like. So I'm a big advocate for saving the bees and doing what we can do. And the lessons both in life and business have been plentiful.
I love it. Well, one day I'll have to tell you my murder hornet story where when that hit the press, we had a client who believed one was in her office while we were on a Zoom call. And it's still one of the most amusing 2 minutes of my life. There was not one and she is fine. Anyway, Jeff, it was great to chat with you. Where can people learn more about Philo's business?
Absolutely. Go to philo.co, philo.co, and you can learn more about our offering or request a demo. Or if you want to be more personal about it, just email me, Jeff, J-E-F-F, at philo.co, and tell me that you heard me on this Venture Fuel podcast, and happy to set you up with a demo myself.
Awesome. Jeff, thanks so much and continued success. Good luck with the bees.
Thank you very much. You have a great day.
Thanks so much for joining us. If you want to experience Philo in person, we have an event coming up on April 29th at 12 o'clock noon Eastern time. It is all around sustainability. You can find out more about it by going to LinkedIn at Venture Fuel. You'll see the link right there to the event on sustainability. It'll give you a great sort of demo of what Philo is like. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please hit subscribe wherever you are listening. Until next time.